Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Awakening by Levi Werner. Narrated by Gary Tiedemann. Chapter 1.
Ding!
Lox's eyes snapped open and quickly found the flashing icon on the screen in front of him. Open email, he said. The icon of a mail envelope expanded to take up the whole screen, showing him the new item in his inbox. The item was from New Universal Frontiers, NUF. He paused before opening it. He had sent his application to NUF 2 months ago. He had been waiting for this email with growing trepidation for the last 2 weeks, as the usual period for receiving a response drew to a close. Opening the email, he read, "You have been accepted into the Second Chance program through New Universal Frontiers. Please contact us when you are ready to begin your journey to the Worlds of Magic. Remember, all affairs that require your presence must be arranged before starting the process, as you will never again have a physical form in this world. Attached is a suggested checklist of legal and personal affairs that should be considered and resolved before beginning the journey. Also, remember, you can change your mind at any point up until you are inducted into the Worlds of Magic. Best wishes, NUF Second Chance Program. The future lies in our minds. Brad Rutherford, CEO of New Universal Frontiers."
"I made it in!"
Lox exclaimed with joy, startling his caretaker, Tyler. Lox was so excited, he would have danced if he could still move more than his facial features. That realization quickly brought his high spirits back into check. About 9 months ago, an accident at work had robbed him of all movement from his neck down, and even the ability to use full-dive virtual tech due to a blow to the back of his neck dealt by a crane. The surgeon said that he would live, but there was no way for them to give him movement back without a surgery that had an over 90% failure rate, with failure meaning death. Now he was stuck in a wheelchair, controlled by his thoughts. Fortunately, he was still able to speak, but that was his world now. The owner of the company had done his best to compensate Lox, arranging for his assisted living for the foreseeable future, and insisting on getting him the most advanced wheelchair available, and giving him a $2 million settlement. While the money was excellent, there was little he could do with it. The owner, William Trevian, knew it, so a few months ago, he had offered to write a letter of support for Lox to get into the Second Chance program. Lox had been a mechanical engineer. William had been confident that that fact, along with this letter, would get Lox in. The program didn't often get specialists applying to it. The Second Chance program was provided by New Universal Frontiers for those, like Lox, who had lost the ability to live a fulfilling life before 60. It used the hyper-advanced NUF technology to fully immerse them into the virtual reality game Worlds of Magic. The only limitation was that you had to have some severe physical impairment, be under the age of 60, and be willing to never leave the game once in. Even with those criteria, the company still received thousands of requests to be accepted into the program and only took 100 new people every year. "I really can't believe I got in," Lox mused to himself. If his circumstances were different, he would never be willing to spend the rest of his life inside a virtual world. Unlike full-time gamers who had capsules that allowed them to spend months in at a time, Lox enjoyed the real world too much to give it up for a fake one. "It doesn't seem fair. I worked so hard to get here, just to have it all taken away by some idiot not paying attention." Mr. Trevian's son had been operating the crane. He had accidentally run it into Lox because he wasn't paying attention to what he was doing. "Congrats," Tyler beamed. "Worlds of Magic is the most amazing game to ever come out. I am kind of jealous of you. I only wish I could play." While sincere, Tyler's words struck a chord with Lox and caused him to spiral back down as he thought about all that he had lost. "Yeah, I guess," he sulked. It sure beats being stuck in this body. I am so sorry, Locks. I didn't mean any offense. I know that, Tyler. I just have very mixed emotions about it. But I am trying to count the blessings I still have, so I will try to make the most of it. He fell silent, his emotions rebounding again. He felt sorry for Tyler. He knew that he hadn't been one of his easiest patients to care for, with his emotions continually bouncing all over the place. But who could blame him? He was just out of college with a degree in mechanical engineering and had a bright future ahead of him. I cannot thank you enough for all you have done for me, Tyler. I know I have been difficult to be around, but you have helped me to pull through this. He put his thoughts to word. It is no problem, man. You had a tough hand dealt to you this last year. Most people don't handle it as well as you have. Trust me, I would know. Tyler chuckled. Locks grunted. If you say so. Anyways, they sent me a checklist I should get to work on. Anything I can help with? Not really. Most of the stuff I have to do are things I have already dealt with or don't apply to me. Financially, he had no debt. The money he had received had covered any obligations he had and left him with plenty of money in his bank account. I guess I just need to call a few friends and my boss to let them know that I got in. He mentally ran through the checklist they provided. Indeed, the only phone call that mattered was the one to his boss. He had few people he truly called friends. Those friends he did reach out to all promised to try and find him in-game. "Call Trevian," he said aloud. Before long, he heard Trevian pick up.
"Hello, Mr. Stelicus."
Trevian's gruff voice greeted him.
"What can I do for you today?"
"I was just calling to let you know that I got accepted into the Second Chance program."
"That is great news," he said excitedly. "When do you leave?"
"Just as soon as I finish tying up my affairs."
"Can I do anything to help you get ready?"
He knew Trevian still felt guilty over the accident, but he didn't want to take advantage of that guilt too much.
"Actually, I could use some advice on what to do with my house." A week later, he was ready to go. With Trevian's help, he set it up so that his house would be managed by a high-quality rental company and sold by said company if the rent became unprofitable. They would also handle the aspects of moving his things out of the house and donating anything of value to various charity organizations. He had been keeping NUF informed on his progress, and all he had to do now was call them to come pick him up to begin the journey to his new life. His final bit of business was working with NUF, facilitating the transfer of all his assets to his parents. They were a hard-working couple in Montana, and would have greater use for the money than he would ever have. New Universal Frontiers had arrangements with the government that allowed people in the Second Chance program to transfer money to their chosen beneficiaries with just a simple inheritance tax, instead of dealing with a colossal gift tax. Locks had called his parents to tell them about his sending his money to them. They weren't super thrilled about what they saw as him giving up on the real world, but they had promised to come visit him when they got a chance. He knew that while they might disagree about the whole philosophical debate around him living out his life in a virtual space, that they would still come to visit him. They were just heading into harvest, though, and told him that it would at least be a few months before they could get the capsule to enter the game. It would be much longer for Locks, as the game had a considerable time compression factor, meaning that for every day that passed in the real world, 4 days would pass in the game. "Call New Universal Frontiers Denver office," he said, with the nervous feeling you get as you open the door to a new phase of your life.
"New Universal Frontiers, how may we help you?"
a sweet voice greeted him.
"Hello, this is Locke Stelicus. I am ready to be picked up," he said,
feeling as if a heavy weight lifted off of him.
"Great to hear. Specialists have been dispatched to your listed location. Have a safe trip."
And with a click, she was gone. The hour it took for them to get there seemed to pass in an instant, and before he knew it, they were on their way to the airport. The car drove right out onto the tarmac to a parked airplane where a man wearing a tux greeted him as he exited the vehicle with the help of the driver.
"Mr. Stelicus, my name is Charon Styx. While we are in flight,
I will be helping make sure your transition into the worlds of magic goes as smoothly as possible.
He winked. Nice to meet you. I am excited to get started.
Locke smiled. There was a familiar feeling he got about that name, but the feeling quickly fled his mind as if gently pushed out before he could ask about the name.
Glad to hear. Let's get you on board.
The flight was about 6 hours long. Much of it passed by going over legal documents and such things. Locke digitally signed countless different forms throughout the trip. Everything from an NDA on something he might see in the lab to an arrangement about giving NUF the ability and clearance to transfer funds on his behalf from his Earth bank accounts into the game. Then, just as their island headquarters came into view, Charon brought his attention to one last document.
All right. Here is the point of no return, legally speaking. You can still physically back out before induction, but this is the last document stating that you understand all you have signed and also realized you can never leave the game once you enter it, Charon said with finality.
Locke barely glanced over it and signed it. Looking at Charon, he sighed. To be honest, I am struggling to even remember what the last two documents were even about.
We can go back over them again,
Charon said with the same cheery attitude he started with 6 hours ago.
No, don't, he exclaimed. You do, and I swear I will find a way to stand up and jump out of the plane.
He laughed.
I know it is a lot. Why else do you think we do it on a plane, where people can't escape? But the worst is over now. From here forward, it should be smooth sailing, so to speak.
Before long, the plane touched down. Getting off the plane, they were led towards the facility covering most of the island by a couple of attendants. Standing in the entrance, Locke saw a man. He was a tall man, with a full head of silver hair and matching beard, both immaculately groomed. His face was angular, but not overly sharp, and his gray hair and beard perfectly complemented his piercing blue eyes.
Is that Brad Rutherford? Locke asked Charon.
Yes, that is. He likes to personally meet all participants of the Second Chance program in the real world before the transition, Charon responded. This must be Mr. Stellicus, Brad said in a deep, booming voice that perfectly matched the imposing figure he struck. Yes, sir, Charon said. I'll leave him with you. I must be off to pick up another candidate. Very well.
Mr. Rutherford turned toward Locke. As Charon turned to leave, Locke found his tongue again.
Thanks for the help. It was my pleasure, Charon said over his shoulder as he walked away.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Rutherford.
Locke turned his chair back towards him.
Please, call me Brad.
He gestured for Locke to follow him.
I always like to walk new players to the lab, so I can at least put a name to the faces of the people who have come to call my creation their home. Do you have any questions about this whole thing that I can answer?
His voice was such a deep, rich baritone that it sucked Locke in, partially enchanting him.
I am sure this is a question that most people ask you, but why can we never come out? That was never really explained.
You can't come out because you most likely wouldn't survive the process. Without going into super detailed explanations, it is like this. For us to be able to help people like you, we have to insert thousands of tiny probes into your brain. These probes connect directly with the tissue, making removing you from the pod almost impossible.
I guess that is true. That was the only thing I really wondered about.
The idea of all those needles made his skin crawl.
Really? Most people are full of questions.
Yeah, I answered the other questions I had myself through my own research.
Most people hardly even look at the manuals, much less understand them. It is not often we get people who have the background to grasp what they mean.
Well, I am an engineer, Locke said, chuckling along with Brad.
'Tis true. I guess I will have to trust you. Brad laughed. Do you have a plan for once you are in the game?
Yes, I do.
He had played the game some before his accident and had much enjoyed it. After applying for the program, Locke spent almost all of his months stuck in his chair, researching the game in depth, making plans for how he was going to build his new life in the game. Brad and Lox ended up chatting for several hours. They parted as friends, Brad promising to eventually come to find Lox in the game world to see how he was doing. He took Lox to the lab, where he would begin the process of induction. He left him there with a beautiful doctor named Persephone. She and her assistant helped to transfer Lox into a pod. Just before closing the lids, she said in a sweet and seductive voice, "This is your last chance to change your mind. Are you ready?"
"Yes, I am," he replied firmly.
The lid closed, and the world went black.
Welcome to Worlds of Magic.
The icon of a tiny solar system flashed in front of Lox's eyes in a pitch-black world that he appeared to be floating in. Below the image was a bar filling up with a description of what was happening, flashing so quickly by he only got a few of the items listed. Pod boot up started. Initializing connections, 34,614 out of 1,000,000. Checking base node connections, 10 out of 10. Beginning consciousness transfer. Induction started. Final checks. Current player population online, 31,637,120. Beginning character creation. The loading screen disappeared and was replaced by a document on what looked to be parchment. He quickly began to read. He wasn't one to gloss over the final documentation on what amounted to be the rest of his life.
"Welcome, Second Chance user. We have detected that you have already created a character in Worlds of Magic. However, due to the licensing related to your current situation, you are required to create a new character. You will be given 1 gold per level of character, in addition to the current total gross character values, including all items, investments, and property value. Your amount to be received at the nearest bank is 101 gold, 51 silver, and 83 copper. You also receive a one-time ability to transfer in funds without a service charge. The amount and required forms should have been dealt with before entering into the pod. If not, click here." The words "click here" were in blue text. "Also, due to your complete immersion, your pain sensitivity adjuster has been set to 100%. This is for your benefit, since all our studies have shown higher sensitivity levels lead to more complete immersion into the worlds of magic. Do not worry. There will be a very light level of monitoring to watch for this being abused in the form of undue pain and torture inflicted by other players. Have a beautiful day."
"What?" Lox exclaimed. The character loss wasn't unexpected, and the money bonus he received was nice. But the pain sensitivity thing was out of left field. He never once remembered it being mentioned. Not that he genuinely minded, since he had been planning on setting it to 100% anyways. Still, it being placed there without his prior authorization surprised him. In a way, it made a sort of sense, since they were trying to make people feel more alive. But it seemed wrong for them to do it without the player's consent. Evidently, many people had wondered about this, because upon hitting enter, another short parchment flashed up. "Due to many questions regarding the pain levels, Worlds of Magic would like to remind you that you agreed to this adjustment in Section 2, Page 4, Paragraph 3 of the contracts you signed en route to the island. Thank you." "Well, I guess that answers that," he mused to himself. Upon hitting accept, the character creation screen finally showed up. Lox had done extensive research beforehand, so he already knew what race he was going to be. He quickly picked Nalcor, followed by half-human. The game allowed half-breeds between any of the playable races where you could mix and match each race's traits. Each different race had different racial abilities or attributes. However, he had not chosen the half-breed, Nalcor, and human for the characteristics. He took them more for the looks. He had always liked the idea of cat people, but he had never wanted to be covered in fur. So, after much experimenting with the offline character creator, he had come up with this mix. Depending on the combination of races you picked, your stat and race traits from it would affect your character's appearance. Lox ended up with a character that actually looked mostly human. He did end up with a tail and ears that somewhat resembled cat's ears, just larger, but other than that, he looked primarily human. His hair was a dark blonde, and his tail was covered in similarly colored hair. The facial features were already much like his own, thanks to the cameras in his pod, just with a much more feline cast to his features. No whiskers, thank heavens. They would have driven him crazy. The only significant difference was that he had cat eyes, which he set to be emerald green. After adjusting the frame to make him look more like a runner than a lifter, he hit accept. Next came the name. He wrote Lox Stellicus. He figured it was a good name, and since he was moving into the game permanently, he saw no reason to change it forever. Next, a screen opened before his eyes, which showed what was soon going to be his new body slowly rotating. The screen also showed empty slots for his gear and a list of each stat with a short tooltip describing what each statistic does on top of what looked to be a light wood background. While this body might not actually be my real body, specifically speaking, this will be me for the rest of my life. How is this not me, then? Intelligence. Increases your overall spell potency and decreases your spell cast time slightly. Spirit. Increases your mana pool by 20 points per stat point and its rate of regeneration by 0.05 mana per second, along with increasing your mental fortitude, which, among other things, increases your ability to endure pain up to 75% at 200 points in spirit. Mana was how the game measured the available magic power a player had access to. Vitality. Increases your total health pool by 10 points per stat point and increases your combat health regeneration by 0.01 health per second and non-combat regeneration by 0.1 per second. Resilience. Increases the toughness of your body and increase your pain resistance max at the ability to overcome 75% of pain at 200 points. Strength. Increases physical damage and carrying capacity by 20 pounds per stat point. Endurance. Increases your stamina by 20 points per stat points and stamina regeneration by 0.05 per second. Agility. Increases your attack speed and movement speed. Dexterity. Increases your critical damage, critical chance, and spellcast speed. Lox received a total of 40 stat points to distribute to complete his character customization. You had to have one in each stat to start the game, so he first fulfilled that requirement, leaving him with 32 points to distribute. He had already planned what to do, and immediately put 20 points into strength and the other 12 into resilience. He knew that in Worlds of Magic, you could increase your stats through training, and that it got harder and harder to improve the stat points this way as you got more and more points in that stat. He was going to play a magic-based character. Since resilience and strength mattered little to his intended build, he put all his starting points into them. This would allow him to reach higher levels in his other stats through training. The final screen was his start location. Before him was a list of thousands of possible starting locations all over the first world that players had to access. Lox picked the random start on a random whim and hit ready. One final message popped up in his vision. Due to your involvement in the Second Chance program, you have an option to undergo a series of aptitude, personality, and skills tests before entering the game. The result of these tests will grant you a one-time use ability that will modify your character, making your abilities and skills more aligned with who you were in the previous world. This testing will take place at a hidden location in the Worlds of Magic. Due to security issues, your memories of this testing will be removed. Warning. For this test to accurately assess you, your character will be subjected to situations that place extreme mental, physical, and emotional strain on it. While you will have no memory of these events, your character may have some lingering effects that will take a few days to pass. This testing will take place over a week. Do you accept these risks and conditions? Yes or no? Thinking to himself, how bad could this be? Lox hit yes, and the world went completely black. Chapter 2. As the world slowly coalesced into existence, Lox could feel his body come to life, starting at his head and working down his body. It was a strange and wonderful feeling for Lox, who hadn't been able to feel anything below his neck for over 6 months. Opening his eyes, he found himself on a beach with a small shipwreck behind him. A pretty standard game-opening setting, Lox thought, as the world flashed around him and his interface showed up. Suddenly, Lox was overwhelmed with tiredness that seemed to seep clear into his bones and mental fog that made even thinking feel like a huge challenge. He glanced at where his health bar was and saw two flashing red scarlet icons. On inspecting, they read Extreme Physical Fatigue and Extreme Mental Fatigue. Groaning, he stumbled a few feet before collapsing in unconsciousness again. Lox awoke again to a sharp prodding in his side. Groaning, he looked up to see an old man with a long beard poking him with the end of an ornate staff.
"They told me you might be in rough shape when you arrived," he said in a wizened old voice, "but I never expected you to be this bad. I expected you to at least be able to make it to my cottage before you collapsed. You must have really pushed the trials."
It took Lox a moment to put together what the old man was saying.
"Who are you?"
he barely managed to get out.
"Me? Well, I am the great and powerful wizard, Thomas,"
the old man said with much gusto and bravado.
"But never mind that now. Let's get you up and moving."
Before Lox could think to react, Thomas shot a glowing green ball from his staff into Lox. Lox's combat log appeared in the middle of his vision. "You have been hit with greater restoration. All ailments and debuffs have been removed, and your health has been restored." Lox quickly moved the combat log box clear down into the bottom right of his vision, where he would only see it if he wanted to. As he did, he felt a wave of warm, soothing energy pulse through his body, and he sighed. That was a powerful spell. Maybe this geezer is really a powerful wizard after all. "Wow, thanks. I feel much better now." Lox got to his feet. Thomas waved his hand dismissively.
"'Tis nothing. What I would like to know is what you did do to get such harsh debuffs from the trials."
He raised an eyebrow at Lox.
"Most who take that blasted thing only have minor ailments when they exit it."
"I don't remember." From Lox's point of view, he had only just agreed to the testing a few moments ago.
"I know, I know." Thomas waved his hand expressively. "Some big secret about the trials and their location. If you ask me, it is a big fuss over nothing. You will most likely eventually make your way there sometime. But alas, people must have their secrets now, don't they?"
He cackled, looking at Lox with a little bit of a crazy gleam in his eye. Lox started to follow Thomas up the beach. Other than Thomas's ornate staff, nothing else about him looked like a wizard. He was wearing what appeared to be some sort of swimming trunks, and his wrinkly body was tanned to the point it was starting to look like leather, and his white hair and beard were wild messes. Upon inspection, Lox found that he was wearing what amounted to practically a burlap sack with holes cut in it.
"Where are we?"
Lox asked after fully taking in his surroundings. Looking towards the island's interior, he saw mostly jungle. Looking out over the water, he saw dozens of islands dotting the crisp, blue water, some close and some barely visible over the horizon.
"Where? Truthfully, I am not sure. But it is my own personal paradise, away from all those annoying old fools who wouldn't quit pestering me,"
Thomas responded, and then continued in a mocking tone.
"No, Thomas, you can't do that. No combining random elements inside. No experimenting on our guest. No, you can't have more money for research. No, you can't come in my lab because you accidentally destroyed it last time."
As Thomas's rant continued, Lox's eyes grew wider and wider. But before he could make his retreat, Thomas turned around and said,
"If I had to guess, we are in the shattered continent somewhere."
I used...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?